Support for this podcast comes from Troy University, dedicated to teaching a new generation to lead change. Information on leadership opportunities available to students from day one is at troy.edu/leadchange.
From Troy Public Radio, this is In Focus, and I'm Carolyn Hutchison. Today we bring you part two of our interview by Skype with Chase Barber, CEO and co-founder of Edison Motors in British Columbia, Canada. The company has discovered ways to build or retrofit truck engines to run on clean energy. Chase Barber, welcome back by Skype.
Hey, yeah, thanks for having me back.
How soon do you think this technology will catch on countrywide, either in Canada or the United States?
I think we're about 3 to 5 years ahead of everybody else. But as everybody goes electric and they start doing the math, and like we've done with all of our customers, the fully electric isn't enough to get it there. The power infrastructure and the grid infrastructure isn't there in North America to handle it. So I think we're going to start seeing, as we transition to electric, people will want the fuel savings. A diesel generator burns a lot cleaner than a normal truck engine. It's running at 1 RPM constantly all day, so it gives you better emissions, better efficiency, better fuel mileage, reduction in fuel, and the fuel you are burning is cleaner. So that already makes sense. And then as hydrogen comes in and you have hydrogen fuel cells, the hydrogen fuel cells can provide onboard power for the electric. So I think it's that next logical transition for the heavy truck market, is that taking the step right to the end of going fully electric right now just doesn't make sense with our current technology and grid infrastructure. But doing this hybrid approach, like, you know, a Toyota Prius did, when before Tesla came out with their fully electric cars, you had the Toyota Prius, which is hybrid. So I think we're going to start seeing a lot more hybrid semi-trucks. And I think we're just, we just happen to be the first one really doing it.
Let me ask you about the battery. Are these lithium batteries?
That's right. Yep.
I had heard or read that lithium could be in short supply. What do you know about that?
Well, anything that you want to mine isn't going to be in short supply. I mean, it's not like it's a super rare commodity right now. And we're also looking at other battery technologies, and there's sodium batteries. And it's one of those things that I don't really worry about. We have enough to meet. Like, we could turn like 80% of the cars in North America fully electric and still have enough lithium. Is it a viable thing for 100 years? Probably not. Is it going to get us through that transition as the battery technology improves? I think so. It's also why I like the hybrid approach, too, though, is that we run 250 kilowatt hour batteries compared to a Tesla semi that's fully electric that runs 1,000. Our battery is 4 times smaller, 4 times less lithium. There's definitely an advantage to reducing the lithium going hybrid, but it's not a huge concern for me right now.
Take us back to the First Nations community in British Columbia and your project there. How satisfied were they with the results?
Well, they weren't very satisfied at first because we got a few things wrong the first couple times and we had to go back and change it. And we made some mistakes. It was our first project we ever did. But once we went back, we changed out some batteries, put some battery heating in. Then they were extremely happy. It's something really, really cool, is that this community grew up their entire lives listening to a diesel generator. Like, it was less than 200 feet away from the houses. You could hear a generator constantly their entire lives. So that moment where all of a sudden you could look out over this Rocky Mountains, beautiful views of the mountains and the bottom of this valley, and it went quiet. And when it went quiet, the deer would start returning into the community. The moose would come back. The elk, the wildlife, not having to listen to a diesel, would come back. It was more peaceful. It not only did it save them, like, paid for itself in like a year and a half, it saved a ton of noise, just tranquility. It was very satisfying one once the project was done, but nightmare doing it.
It took them back to nature. Obviously, I see, according to your website, that you're building the truck of the future. You mentioned a couple of times the power grid. How concerned are you about our ability to go more electric with the current power grid?
I am super concerned about our ability to go electric. If you look, North America, you know, from the 1960s, we've actually lost power per capita. Like, the amount of power we have per person living in North America has gone down about 30%. Right now, we can use 30% less power than our parents and grandparents used. we're not investing in our power grid. If you do the math, so let's just look at British Columbia for logging trucks. So a logging truck uses about 2.5 megawatts of power to get it through a day. Well, there's about 5,000 logging trucks in BC. At 2.5 megawatts each, that's 12,500 megawatts or 12.5 gigawatts. So they're building a new dam. They're spending about $20 billion building a new dam. That new dam will have a capacity of 1.1 gigawatts. Just logging trucks will take 12.5 gigawatts. This dam that's been 10 to 15 years under construction will only meet about 20% of the total demand of the logging trucks in the province. You would need at least five more Site C dams at a cost of $120 billion just to meet the power demands to take logging trucks fully electric. We're not there. When you apply that amount of power consumption to all the trucks across North America, we're not there. California right now has issues with their electric cars. In the summertime, when people are running their ACs, they're telling people not to charge their electric cars at certain times of the day because they're charging infrastructure can't take electric cars. And then if you just look at the power consumption of a car, most people, what, you put 30 gallons in your car every 2 weeks, roughly. I think that's what an average car uses if I'm converting to gallons. 30 gallons every 2 weeks for the average car. A loaded semi-truck will be looking at like 400 gallons a day. Each semi-truck uses 10 times what a car does in 2 weeks per day. Convert that over to electrical power and look how that will affect the power grid. And like, we need to start doing major, major power infrastructure projects akin to, say, like the national highway system. When they, like, we need public works projects like you had in the 1950s and 60s with the interstate system. If you look at how the 1940s and 50s and 1930s built tons of dams, power lines, like, the government just poured money into building electrical infrastructure that they haven't done in the last 40 years. And unless they start doing that again, we're not going to have the power available for these electric cars without doing a hybrid approach.
So I see what you're saying. This is what we have to do to make that technology work. Remember, in the pandemic, everyone depended on the energy supply chain, the supply chain supplied by truckers, rail, airplane, but a lot of it was carried by truckers. So I want to thank you for sharing your views on the future of technology. Is there anything else you want to add?
You know, the only thing I really wanted to add is there's a lot of people out there and a lot of truck drivers, small owner operators that are afraid of the way electric's going because they're worried about being able to repair and fix these trucks. And the only thing I really want to say that if really a bunch of loggers from up in Canada can figure out how to build an electric truck, service it, build it, repair it, basically almost anybody, like if we can do it, I think anybody can build and work on an electric truck. They're actually super easy to work on as soon as you figure it out. There's no hidden secret to these things.
I've seen on your website, you even have EV conversion kits. So there you go.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's just, a lot of these companies and try and pretend that they're doing something so innovative and so complex. Freight trains have been diesel electric since the 1930s. Laterno with earth moving equipment, diesel electric since the 1940s. As much as I'd love to say, hey, we're doing revolutionary and innovative things, we took a bunch of technology from the 1930s and put it into a semi-truck today. There is really not a lot revolutionary in here. We just combined some things in an efficient way. This is actually really simple. They're just trying to hide the fact that it's simple.
I want to thank you for joining us today by Skype.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I really enjoyed this conversation with you. And I always like educating as many people as I can anyways.
Joining us by Skype was Chase Barber, CEO and co-founder with Eric Little of Edison Motors in British Columbia, Canada. Several postings on YouTube illustrate what the company is doing to make trucks run on clean energy. Thanks for joining us today for In Focus, which is now a podcast on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Carolyn Hutchison, and this is listener-supported Troy Public Radio.